Classic Business on Classic 1027.
Warwick, are you going to fill us in and what the headlines are?
Right, well, it's been a week of quite substantial news, both on the international and local front. I think perhaps the highlights on the week on the international front was yet another twist in Brexit, when we saw the UK basically strung to a two-stroke withdrawal offer from the EU, and that was either you vote for May's deal and you can shove off on the 22nd of May, or if you want a no deal, the best we can give you is the 12th of April. And
so only two options. I thought there were about 20 at this stage.
And who knows how many lucky packet versions of votes would fall out.
There may still be a plan B, but we have to wait to see it.
Or C or D or E.
And then on the corporate front, I think the presentation that we saw to Parliament with regard to Steinhoff, I mean, I guess in terms of speculation and scuttlebutt, I mean, the fact that 106 billion rand or 6 billion euros was missing was certainly something that had been or kind of number that had already been flagged for some time. But here we had it in a firm commitment that indeed that amount of money was missing. I mean,
isn't that incredulous?
It is
absolutely incredulous.
Absolutely,
when you look at the directors, the auditors, all the checks and balances arguably in place of a company like that, and not just in South Africa.
Absolutely. And I mean, you know, we might look at it and say, well, clearly these institutions are all a load of hooey, but let's look at who got taken. I mean, one of South Africa's most talented businessmen, in Christo Wiese.
Yep.
I mean, he put up an extremely valuable company in the form of Pepkor, merged it into Steinhoff in exchange for shares. And hey presto, he found he's got sold one heck of a pup. And you know, this is a guy who's obviously extremely astute. He certainly didn't build up his level of wealth through not having a clue. Clearly, he's got lots of clues. And yet, here he got taken. So there's obviously something a little bit deeper to this, and it's obviously quite a tight conspiracy of criminality that was at play here.
Do you think, though, anything is ever going to really come out into the open? No, there's a lot of comment that the regulatory bodies, so-called, just don't have the expertise to unravel something of this complexity.
Well, I think some of the important questions are where did the money actually go? Where does the money trail lead?
Or did it exist?
Or didn't exist. Look, I mean, a lot of the inflation of profits was basically you would create a notional liability of some kind, then this would be securitized, sold off to another company, and effectively it would just quietly disappear somewhere onto the balance sheet. And yet one of the big concerns in the analytical community always was, well, where were the cash earnings of Steinhoff?
Yes. Yeah.
And there would always be some discussion of which would circle around it, but it would never really be resolved satisfactorily with cash earnings that were anything like the kind of operating earnings that Steinhoff kept on reporting.
Yes, but also you were saying off air how, you know, when you actually look back 3, 4, 5 years, South African auditing was right up there, and now they've slipped to what?
Absolutely. I mean, we were in 2016. I think we occupied number one on some global surveys, and the last ranking I saw was number 55. I mean,
55.
We slid hard. Look, part of it would have been around Steinhoff, and a big chunk around KPMG as well.
Sure. Sure.
So, yes, what a beating for Brand South Africa.
Absolutely. And I think this is where people forget that it's all things like this at the touch points of the brand, especially internationally.
Absolutely.
And I think, the implications for Deloitte as well are huge.
Very much so. And I think it highlights, though, that these are recessionary phenomenon. And as Buffett's so fond of saying, when the tide goes out, you see who's been swimming with our trunks. Well, it's certainly what happens now when the economy is in such a dire state. Eventually, rotten debt structures, like the kind of fictitious structures that were clearly in place in Steinhoff, get found out.
And then, whilst people focus on Steinhoff, and quite rightly, we seem to have had a whole slew the last couple of years of companies getting into trouble, from the EOHs to the Aspens, and so it goes on. And again, one wonders what's going on in the boardroom.
Well, I think quite a lot of it is really we're finding out what happens when you apply a bit of recessionary stress to a company. I mean, it's, as far as I'm concerned, that the difference between a genius financial engineer and an idiot is about 5 rate hikes.
No, top that. And what else have you been seeing today? Because whilst we've had a quiet week, I guess, and there's still so much talk of Eskom, what else is happening around the world? I hear Mr. Mueller's report is near to coming out as well, but I'm sure on financial matters, there must be other things that you think we should be flagging.
Right, okay. So I think, once again, the Fed reaffirming their very cautious, dovish approach that they've taken there. The Fed meetings basically have moved almost from a "we got this" kind of approach to a "hang on, we'll get back to you." But quite clearly, no sign of rate hikes at all in 2019. The market itself, forward rates actually indicating, if anything, a possibility of a cut in 2020. And I mean, we don't have a proper so-called rate curve inversion, which is where you have the 10-year bond rates below 2 years. But we do have a small inversion. I mean, 3-month money is above 2 years and is above 5 years. So it's clearly talking or pointing towards an economy with not a heck of a lot of rate hikes or big inflationary expectations in it at this stage.
And, I'm not an expert like you in financial matters, but watching the Bloombergs and the CNNs and BBC, there seem to be so many contradictory messages going around about, the markets have got frothy, but then someone says, well, they've still got 6 months to run. And I think we know that trying to judge the market is like trying to catch a falling knife.
Oh, very much so. I think at this stage, what we can suggest here, though, is that the Fed, albeit almost too late, changed course, and that we are possibly at a stage where it's just put things that'll gently roll over and soft land instead of having a hard landing, which, quite frankly, was where its rate hike path was taking it. So I think we globally, the world economy's dodged quite a big bullet there. I think the next big bullet that needs dodging is the US-China trade situation. And then, of course, the bullet that seems to be ricocheting or here, there and everywhere is just how is Brexit going to turn out. At this stage, it's starting to look like a hard Brexit. Obviously remains to be seen, and will the damage be contained?
And I think Raymond, after we've had the traffic report, is going to expand on that. And as you say, we're living in a world of huge uncertainty, and the main sources of uncertainty seem to be President Trump himself, where no one can predict. And as you say, the Chinese-American situation, we have Brexit. And looking around the world, where is there any certainty at the moment?
Not a lot. The only certainty is change.
And, when one actually thinks of that, we know that the financial markets, the last thing they want is change. They want stability. They want to have predictability. They want to know where they're going.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, and I think it is a cautionary note for the likes of South Africa. I mean, we look, for example, at EOH. You mentioned them earlier. They talk about a two-week delay in publication of interim results, and the share price took an absolute smash. It had been about 19 Rand before, down to 14 today. Any kind of uncertainty, particularly when you're looking delicate, like South Africa and a lot of South African corporates, it's your preservation of reputation and trust is so, so important. And right now, we just aren't getting it right, are we?
Well, no. And in branding terms, we always talk about trust and a brand being a trust mark. And, you know, one that we haven't mentioned, of course, is Tongaat Hewlett. And I think a lot of people think, well, you couldn't perhaps 2, 3, 4 years ago get a more solid share than that. And the amount of value that's been decimated there is incredible.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, some of that relates to debt. Then you have the announcement of, well, some of the accounting practices are going to be looked at. And if that wasn't enough to add insult to injury, then have a terrible cyclone tearing through the most promising sugar lands in Mozambique. I mean, it's just one misery compounded upon another.
So it's a perfect storm in many, many different ways. And again, how are they going to pull themselves out from that? Again, because I see the one major firm of audit practice has now got itself another audit practice coming in to review everything that's going on.
The reality is that a company that is in that kind of trouble, I think whether it's a Steinhoff or a Tongaat or an EOH, is that there's a certain amount of humility that needs to come in. In other words, of, oh dear, we fluffed it, and we have to now open ourselves up to our backers and financiers and relevant interested parties and actually show some contrition and a willingness to do right in future.
Well, absolutely. And I think this is where, as we say, we need a bit more humility. But where are those checks and balances, and where are those people who are meant to keep an eye on things and flag them before, you know, we hit the poo, as it were? And that doesn't seem to be happening. I think on that note, thank you to Warwick, and we're going to have a traffic report.